Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
If you missed it last night, the MLB Network came out with its top 100 players of the new season based on last year. You got it. Bobby Witt Jr. is in the top 10.
Yeah,
Bobby Witt Jr. is in the top 5. Bobby Witt Jr. is in the top 3, according to the MLB Network, in baseball players going into 2025.
Hang on a second. Who put this list out? MLB Network?
That's right.
2 weeks ago, they said he was the fourth best shortstop in baseball. Mm-hmm. And now, yesterday, the same network is saying he's the third best player in baseball.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you get emails of backlash.
I mean, my God.
Which means the only thing I can think of at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning with the Chiefs season being over and Bobby Witt Jr. be named the third best baseball player in baseball. How you doing?
He's the fastest in the league. He steals the base. Hitting home runs all over the place. It's Bobby Witt Jr. Every Kansas City fan knows his name. And you know the crowd goes wild when he's sliding to home base.
Get you ready for baseball season. I don't know what else can, because that is one of the greatest jingles of all time. And I don't know how the Royals are going to top that this year. That was their last year's bobblehead featured song for Bobby Witt Jr., but now he's the third best baseball player in the league.
In the league right now. I mean, think about that. We have the greatest football player and the third best baseball player right here in Kansas City. And there was a time when people said that would never happen because you can't, you know, live your life and be a marketable athlete if you're playing in Kansas City. Well, I hate to break it to you. We've bucked that trend in a big way. Have you been to the MLB mobile app Twitter? Like, go to Twitter on your phone and look at the MLB page. Bobby Witt Jr. is like the featured player on the banner on their Twitter page, right in the center. His face is right there. Like, I have a feeling like Major League Baseball going to try to push Bobby Witt Jr. in front of all the masses this year because of how great a baseball player he is. Like, he's everything that you could want. He is your Patrick Mahomes of baseball. He's a dream that we have a player like him here. And if he continues to do what he's doing, he could at some point potentially surpass George as the greatest role. I'm not saying he is even in that category quite yet, but you could see where this is going. If he continues to have season after season after season after season like this, then you're going to have that conversation, because right now it's George Brett and everybody else, you know, throughout this organization. But man, this kid has hit the ground running and it has shown us that you can not only make great money playing here in Kansas City, you can be marketable here in Kansas City, and you can stay long-term here in Kansas City. Mahomes and Bobby Witt are both long-term Kansas City athletes, and 15 or 20 years ago, we're not even having these kinds of conversations.
No, not. I mean, and that's the thing is, I think last year, that was a lot of people had called in and said, you know, like, what was your favorite part about the 2024 Royals? And it was like, was it the playoff run? A lot of people were like, no. It's like, okay, what was it? And it was, well, my favorite part was that they signed the future of the franchise, right? Like you'd mentioned, like that normally didn't happen. Like everybody was like, oh yeah, he'll be a Yankee or he'll be a Met or he'll be whatever, a Ranger.
Right.
And, you know, 3 years.
Dodger.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that.
I mean, they could buy the whole Royals. But that's great that John Sherman did that because that sets the tone and the groundwork for how he's going to run this organization, right? Like no more, I don't think we need to have those conversations around the Royals of, well, we only got 6 years of this guy because they're not going to pay up and keep him here in Kansas City. They have shown us now as a fan base that they will spend that money and keep those players here in Kansas City. And I make a loose analogy to this, but John being a huge Chiefs fan that he is, seeing the way that they do business and what it means to have those cornerstone players locked down and how your fan base embraces them and how it can turn an entire franchise around. Like, if you don't sign Bobby Witt Jr. long-term, you're David Glass 2.0, and ain't nobody wants that, right? John Sherman has come in here and looked at what the Chiefs did, how they marketed their franchise, how they got Patrick Mahomes signed up, and said, you know what? We've got a guy just like that here in Bobby Witt. Let's get the job done. And I bet Mahomes had a little bit of a factor in that as well for Bobby Witt, seeing what Patrick's been able to accomplish here and then getting that deal done with the Royals. So, I mean, it's awesome the fact that we've got these guys locked up from now until the end of time.
Yeah, it's excitement because, you know, I think that we are now in a year where, like, it's similar parallels to when Mahomes threw for 50 and 5,000.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Bobby did that thing last year where I think, he was the first shortstop ever to go 30-30 back-to-back years. His defensive numbers got better. I think he was, like, plus 12 and, like, defensive runs saved or whatever it is in the stat where, like, if you make a great play and you save somebody, you obviously get the tally there.
Yeah, like, right.
His WAR was higher. His average was better. That month of July was historic.
Historic month.
I mean,
God.
He was at the moment where, what is it that George Brett always says? Like, he's a guy you don't go piss for.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
he's a guy you stay on the top bar no matter how bad you got to go. You're like, Bobby's due up second. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. You want to watch every at bat. Yeah.
And that's a guy that knows about urinals. And the thing that's great about Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes is that the obvious, they play in the same city and they rep the same town. But, like, the thing that's great about it is that both these guys are exceptionally good for the youth that they have. Mm-hmm. Like, Patrick Mahomes is 29 years old, and people are be like, did he take a step back? How about we say, can he take a step forward? Bobby Witt Jr. is, what, 24, 25, maybe?
Maybe.
I'd have to look up his actual age, but I think it's somewhere around there. And he just had an historic year, and baseball has taken a swing towards, hey, it's all about the young superstars. We're done with the, you know, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire's, those type of guys. Obviously, that was a steroid era, but they were older in their career, like 33, 34, 35, you know, hitting mammoth shots.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you have guys like Ellie De La Cruz, Fernando Tatis Jr. You have, you know, Francisco Lindor was young when he came up and was a stud, big-time stud last year. Ronald Acuna was the MVP 2 years ago, had a great year. And what's crazy even more so is that Bobby Witt Jr. is this young, and he's only behind Shohei Ohtani, who is the greatest baseball player that we've ever seen. And by the way, he's pitching again.
Yeah, I know. He's pitching again.
No, he
definitely is.
For the Dodgers. And then Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the list above him.
Yep.
That is it. And yet, where MLB, I will say, did make a miss is that with your youth that you're trying to get back into the game, you, and I know this is going to sound like a millennial take for all millennial takes, you got to put him on every possible cover there could be, whether it's a billboard, whether it's Times Square, whether it's MLB The Show. You've got to somehow incorporate him because the future of your league in baseball right now, and I mean this wholeheartedly, is Paul Skenes and Bobby Witt Jr. and Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, there's a lot of good people that you could.
Those are the three you lead with.
Yeah. I mean, look, Shohei Ohtani's always going to be number one. The fact that he was ranked fourth last year, that you're telling me there were three baseball players better than him last year. Judge was third last year. Witt was 20 last year. So, which was great. I mean, the fact that he was a top 20 player after just one season and now moved up to number three is outstanding. But, I mean, mean, you're looking at where baseball is right now, and quite honestly, and you know, I'm obviously a little bit older by a decade than you. I don't remember baseball having this many stars since I was a kid, you know, like where you could truly market it around these players. When you start to look at the top players in the game, I think everybody loves Shohei Ohtani. No matter what team you are, you marvel at that guy. You want to go watch him play. Same with Aaron Judge. Every kid wants to hit home runs. And you got Bobby Witt Jr. at number 3. Juan Soto coming in at number 4. Mookie Betts, I mean, my goodness, number 5. Mm-hmm. Lindor comes in at 6. Yordan Alvarez, Freddie Freeman, obviously, with his World Series performance. Jose Ramirez coming in at number 9. Jose Ramirez is one of the best players in baseball, and that dude came in at number 9. When I saw that last night, I'm like, oh my God, Jose's down there really low. I mean, when you start to think about the talent in this game, and then the shortstops, Gunnar Henderson's on that list in the top 10. Skeens, Acuna. I mean, there are so many great young baseball players right now. Like, it is really cool to see the youth and the superstars that these young guys have already become. And I think Major League Baseball realizes that, and I think they are going to do a great job of marketing these young players, and we're going to see them out in the forefront a lot more than we have before. And a network like ESPN, man, like, you can show highlights. There's a cool factor in baseball again.
Oh, yeah.
Witt makes the top 10 for the second straight year, coming off a breakout superstar season. He led the majors with a .332 batting average. He had a .389 on base. He slugged .588. Doing so with elite fielding, he was plus 12 in fielding run value last year. And wait, I'm not done. He's the fastest man in the sport. The resume, the projections could hardly be more impressive.
And that's Bobby Witt Jr. That's going Bobby to Witt next Jr. year.
Right.
And he plays in Kansas City.
And the best thing about it was is he didn't have a great postseason, just like Mahomes' last game wasn't great. You know Bobby Witt's going to be fired up, dialed in, and ready to rock and roll this year. I can't wait to watch him in October.
Yeah, you're in a world today in Kansas City where your quarterback gets you to baseball season and your baseball MVP gets you to football season.
That's exactly right.
And they're both maybe the best in their game.
And the best in the game. I was talking to, who was it, Binkley last night. I said, well, at least the Chiefs got us to open or the beginning of training camp for the Royals this year. You know,
like, got them to spring training.
Got us the spring training, right? The Chiefs got us the spring training is all we can ask for, right? I mean, it's crazy to think about it. The Chiefs get you to spring training. The Royals get you to the beginning, the middle of football season now. Like, it's great, man. And for the Royals' sake, you got to start hot. Get that hot start out of the way. Get it, you know, wins under your belt early and really have that focus for October, because that's where Bobby Witt's really going to be a star. In baseball, you become a star based on what you do in the postseason, which is why Freddie Freeman is going to be such a big star this year because of what he did in the World Series last year. Bobby Witt plays big in October. He'll be the biggest star in baseball.
No doubt about it. Coming back, we'll dive more into this Royals team, what this means from the past and what it means for the future, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball. Back here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley in the house.
Looks like, Nathan, you win the over-under bet. You said 957, so we all took under. So.
Yeah. I lost. Binkley is in the house. He'll be here from 10 to 2 with Drew.
Maybe.
I think.
He'll be ripping takes today, let me tell you.
Tell you something, Bob. Happy Valentine's Day to my wife, Tammy. This is our 30th anniversary, and she's still my best friend. Go Chiefs.
There you go.
Catching up on the app from the 253. There's an Australian version of Chippendales called the Thunder Down Under.
Yeah, I've heard of them, yeah.
There's a lot of Australian people in New Orleans this past week.
Yeah.
Ton.
Vip texted us about Chippendales earlier, and he said they have now moved the Chippendales from the Rio to Harrah's now in Las Vegas. So if you're out there, you can go to Chippendales and Harrah's.
Does he have a Chippendales koozie?
He probably does.
I like that guy.
Of course, everybody loves Vip.
He's a koozie guy. Everywhere.
They bonded. Oh, it was a bond made in heaven.
Right when we first met, right?
You have your own koozie too?
Bob's like, drink him faster, blank.
I drink so fast it never gets warm.
Roses are red, so is this wine. Girl, you are stone cold stunning, and that's the bottom line.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, hey, girl, you're fine.
Nah, you got to go Steve Austin on that one.
That's good.
So I don't know if you guys like New Heights because of the Kansas City connection, and obviously there are connections outside because they interview everybody from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Digging Deep podcast with Hosmer and Moose. If you want like a really good, like, I know a lot of you will watch the franchise of this season again, like in June and July, to get you ramped up for football. Listen to this podcast. It's great. It's basically a Kansas City Royals podcast. They have Lorenzo Cain on this week.
And I thought he said some interesting stuff about last season of the Royals going into this season, as well as what it was going into 14 into 15. But this was Lorenzo Cain on the 2025 Royals going into this year.
Speaking of those boys right now, too, how are you feeling in the 2025 season with these boys, with what they got going right now?
Hey, the way they finished last year, like, I honestly just, you know, I wasn't sure how far they were going to go last year, but they played some good ball towards the end there, man. So it was fun to watch towards the end there. So coming in this season, they got a lot of expectations. You guys, we both know about the expectations. Oh, yeah. So, hey, they got to go out there and get it done. You know, like we said, 14, when we lost World Series, going back to 15, it was unfinished business. So I think they're in the same boat, but let's go out here and get it done.
They were crazy in 15 going into the season. And the backstory on that whole thing is, so they lose game 7, right? We go into the locker room, and it was the first time we'd ever experienced playoffs in Kansas City, right? I mean, I think for all of us, right? First time that we've ever experienced a real playoff game, World Series and all this stuff. We were pretty excited in 14 around here. I was talking about it yesterday with somebody. I mean, about what it was like in October of 14. It's the best sports month I've ever had, right? And it was awesome, and they didn't win it. But I remember in that locker room, you know, guys were kind of down and whatnot, as you would be. You lose game 7 of the World Series and whatnot. But, man, it was a great season. And we walked out of the stadium that night. I go, man, that was a hell of a lot of fun. As we were all walking out of the stadium that night, I go, man, that run was a lot of fun. Those guys, before that door even opened and the media went in, they said, we're winning this thing in 2015. And from the minute that last out was made until the minute they won it in New York, it sounds a lot like what the Chiefs went through after they lost to the New England Patriots and won it the next year, right? Doesn't normally happen that way. Usually you make it to the World Series and then you fall back and whatnot, right? And so they had in their mind from the day that final out was made to the day the final out was made in New York in Shea Stadium, they were going to win this World Series. And they showed up at spring training, and that was their only goal. And I'll be honest with you, having Ned around at this point in time to kind of relay that message to those kids is good. But more importantly, I want Haas and Moose and Kane and even Salvi at this point to say, hey, this is what we did last time we fell short of winning a world championship. We came back, dialed in, and that was our only goal, and we achieved that goal. And it sure sounds like they're kind of going in the right direction. Some of my spies at spring training said last week that, you know, it's supposed to just be pitchers and catchers here, and we've got position players. They're all here right now, and that's very reminiscent of 2015.
And I'm glad you said that, because they talk about 2014 going to 2015 on the Digging Deep podcast with Hosmer, Moose, and Kane, and this is what they said about that year.
That was wild in 14 or in 15 spring training. Usually, like, you have guys in before the first day of camp, guys are kind of funneling in, showing up here and there. Our whole team was there like a week and a half, 2 weeks early. Like, everybody. Maybe not Eski, but everybody else
was there. Eski, shout out to Eski. Boy, you always late.
Eski's still playing, too.
Two days late to spring training every year, boy.
Yeah. I tell people about that, too, Hoss. I tell people that year, like, from 14, that 15 year, I said, I don't think I've ever seen, I felt like everyone showed up, like, locked in and in shape and ready to go for 15, man.
Yeah.
I saw it like a determined, like a focused group. And I think our 15, the way we played, it showed a lot.
Definitely did, man. I mean, we all took care of business individually and as a team. You're right. Everybody, like the old spring training, we're in the best shape of our life, but everybody really was.
Shout out Eski.
Eski, so he's still playing, they said, right?
He's playing somewhere like in Japan or China. He's playing somewhere. Yeah, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. Anywhere he can get on a roster, he'll play.
I swear to God he was with the Nationals last year. I could be wrong. At some point, he may have been with the Nationals last season in Major League Baseball, but I kind of lost track after that, and it could have been 5 years ago now that I think about it, but who knows? But yeah, they came in. They were ready to go. The best shape of your life, all that stuff. That's the way the Royals have to build on it this year, and they've got the horses to do it. They've got everybody back, right? They didn't really lose anybody off of that team from last year.
And there are similarities in this team. Now, Hosmer was the superstar,
right?
Like, we all know that. He's not Bobby Witt Jr., but superstar level.
Yep.
Like, Hosmer wasn't really regarded as in the league as that guy, but like, when the Royals went anywhere else, let's say they were to go to Colorado and play baseball, everyone on the visiting crowd would be like, yeah, 35 is like Hosmer, that's their guy.
Right.
He's really good. Salvador Perez, another one. And now that team, when they lost, however you want to, you know, 90 feet away, Bumgarner, you know, heartbreak, and what that whole season was. And then they came back and just went, you know, basically wire to wire and were determined. That year, last year, and you talk about the 14 locker room, I was at that game against New York when they lost. And you go into that locker room and Bobby's in tears and other players are just sitting there. Other players are sitting at the dinner table that they have, like, you know, depressing eating, like their food. Like, yeah, it's like, sure, like, here we go. And, you know, I go in there and thanked Q for all the interviews he did on our show. And he's kind of, you know, kind of glassy eyed. Like, I'm watching my kids lose. It's tough to be.
It's tough.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, and that's what I say, is like, sometimes you have to get broken into a billion pieces to build yourself back. That loss they had against the Yankees tasted like absolute crap. Bobby Witt Jr. was terrible in that series,
yeah,
and he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And now what do you have to do? You have to come back even stronger. You hear Lorenzo Cain, Moose, and Haas talk about how that 15 season, everybody showed up 2 weeks early. What did everybody do this year?
They were all there early.
They're all there
early. They're all there. Yeah.
Like, they were there before pitcher and catcher got there. Bobby was in Arizona when we were in Radio Row.
Yeah.
Because we were thinking about maybe if he was going to be around, what he thought, think about coming and joining the show.
Yeah, I was told, no, he's already in Arizona.
He's already in Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're picked second in their division via DraftKings to finish second. Those are the odds. Their over-under wins 8.5. Bobby Witt Jr. second in the league and favorites to win the MVP. I think you should put that bet on it now. I talked to somebody in the text line. The earlier the better, because if he starts the year off like hitting 380 with 10 home runs and whatever, then
forget about it. You're not going to make any money.
It's going to be, I mean, you will, but you could make significantly more getting ahead of the curve. And so this team, with what they've done and the man that they put in charge in Cotrero, like, they're built to be successful. Whether you like it or not, you could say last year was a fluke. Those guys will never have years like they had in the pitching mound. Like, that was just an anomaly of a year. Okay. But even if they're just a shade below that, but they have the bullpen now, that, if so facto, deletes some of those early Will Smith blown saves in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Some of those early blown saves in Cleveland. Those go away because now you have a team that has seen it, tasted it, smelled it, tried it. They know what it is to get there. Now they also know what they got to do to get past that. So that's a dangerous combination with a young, determined team with a few veterans that lead this ship, which is Lugo and Waka and Perez. And then you have guys like Bobby Witt Jr. You have guys like Michael Massey, who's going to be back next year, hopefully healthier with the back. You have Vinny Pasquantino, hopefully can stay healthy this year and come back and be your leader on that. And we'll see where this team goes. But I think this is the first time since 2015, you've really had the feeling of belief and excitement.
Yeah, what were your expectations going into 2016? Because in 2016, we started that season, I'm like, yeah, whatever happens, we just won the World Series, man.
Right.
That was great. You didn't really have
16,
expectations.
It was like, how much longer are they going to do it?
Yeah.
What's the run they can make?
They finished 81-81, but I think that was the year where Moose got injured and Gordo got hurt on that play in Chicago where they collided, and then Cain got hurt, and they were never really able to recover from those injuries. Again, why you have to cherish all of these special seasons that we're seeing, because not just on baseball, but football, as we've talked about, injuries are the one thing that you can't control. And a lot of people still believe and will tell you that in 2016, those guys don't get injured. There's an opportunity for a repeat that year. But guys got injured and they weren't able to make it back to the postseason. So that's going to be the number one thing, is to avoid long-term injuries to players that matter. And last year, for all intents and purposes, this was a healthy team until the Vinny Pasquantino injury happened. And then they kind of spiraled and derailed a little bit, but so did Minnesota, thank God. And we were able to kind of find our way into the postseason. So you've got to avoid those injuries, and that's so easier said than done, obviously. So that's the number one key this year for the Royals. If they stay healthy, there's no reason they're not winning this division this year, right? If they stay healthy and do what they did last year, and some people get better, like Michael Garcia and MJ Melendez and Bono in center and Hunter Renfroe, like if the bats get better in the outfield and some of these guys take that next step, yeah, they're going to win this division. But you got to stay healthy, and that's the number one thing for this ball club and for any team, is that health factor, because nobody's backups are anywhere near as good as their starters.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Nathan, where are you ready for baseball season?
I'm at an 11.
Yeah, I was going to say 11 or 12, right?
Yeah, baseball
I'm ready.
Never sleeps for me. And
yeah,
I'm a huge Chiefs fan, and of course, that is the talk of the town. It should be. Baseball's always been my number one, guys, and I can't wait to get started. Alcides Escobar, by the way, is currently a free agent. He spent the last 2 years in Mexico.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
And he's currently a free agent.
Winterhorse is on TV. Alcides Escobar is a free agent. Ned Yost is back with the Royals.
Maybe a little bit of another connection. Bearing Eske back, right? He could be the third base coach.
Or no, because that guy's too. That guy is what he's the one that gets on the ground and like lays down.
Oh yeah, that dude.
That's
yeah,
our
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. Got to keep that guy right. I'm just thinking of something for Eske to do. Yeah. I saw Rusty was riding his bike yesterday around spring training, which is awesome.
Was the fungo below it? Like
I didn't see that.
You had it seethed in the bike. So he says Eske will play till they're 50 and 15. Nobody like the Royals outside of this region. And Detroit is stacked.
Detroit's got a great roster, but
they might have the best pitcher in the game.
They might have. They may. But, I mean, doesn't matter. You still got to go out there and do it. They may have the best pitcher in the game. He pitches one every 5 days. We have the best player in the game.
I'll also say Detroit got a lot. They're going to get a lot of love this year because of the way they ended the season.
Of course, they should.
They didn't have but one hitter have an above average OPS last year. I know that's getting a little nerdy for you, but it's true. Yeah, they had one hitter that was above league average. That was Riley Green. He was an all-star. He had a great year, but it was really
the country singer.
Yeah, you've heard of Riley Green.
Right, yeah. He sings that, I left my beer in Texas or something, right?
He's the duck man.
Isn't that every country song? I left my beer in Texas with my women.
No.
No?
It's really him and Tarek Skubal that you can count on. There's nobody else that you know is going to replicate those last couple months of the season.
Would you take Tarek Skubal here in Kansas City for Hunter Renfroe, a one-for-one trade right now?
I mean,
our hard-hitting questions on this Friday.
Did the Lakers take Luka for Anthony Davis? Yeah.
Like that would be the baseball version. The Royals get Tarek Skubal for Hunter Renfroe. What?
No, that'd be the dumbest trade in sports history. I'm not trying to take a shot at Hunter Renfroe, but like,
no, it would be a terrible trade, but yeah. I would do it. That's what everybody. Well, can we trade Hochaver and get? No, it's like we were talking yesterday with the Chiefs. Yeah, trade Mike Pinnell. I mean, you're not getting anything in return. You want to get something in return? You give up Chris Jones.
Yeah. But he's the only defensive tackle you have signed to the roster, so it's kind of tough to trade that.
So I wouldn't want to face Detroit in a 5-game playoff series because they can go twice with Skubal.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm not scared of them over 162 as currently.
But this could also be the year where like Cole Reagans has just got the hose. I mean, the guy's coming off 2 Tommy John surgeries. Last year he was a little bit outshined by Seth Lugo, but coming down the stretch, I mean, Reagans was like, we had the discussion. In game one of the playoffs, are you giving Lugo the ball or Cole Reagans the ball? Yeah, and we still get to have that discussion. Who's your opening day starter?
Reagans. It's Cole Reagans.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
And I hope it is for the next 8 years.
Yeah, right. Like, we don't have to go through this every year where Hochaver's your opening day starter and you're down 9-0 in the top of the first and everybody's leaving. And it's snowing and nasty. And, like, those are the days, man. Like, we've got ourselves a bona fide ace. We got ourselves a bona fide MVP candidate. You got a bona fide ace and a bona fide MVP candidate on your roster, your chances are pretty darn good. And all the ancillary pieces are good, too. Because in baseball, like a pitcher to MVP, you need more than that, obviously, over the course of 162. And the Royals have that. They got the veteran leadership in Salvi. They've got a solid rotation. I mean, they're going to be really good this year. It's going to be a fun baseball season from start to finish. And we go into this season really for the first time in a decade with true expectations for our ball club. And I love that.
And those same guys in that podcast, Moose Haas and Kane, who was their guest this week, this is what they said about Bobby Witt Jr.
But first and foremost, it starts with Bobby Witt Jr. Let's be honest. You can't make a shortstop list without him being number one.
The way I look at shortstop is when I was playing third base, I want to look to my left and see a guy that's going to make me significantly better than I really am.
He's got 40 bags in a year, 40 homers, MVP type stuff. Defensively, he's got all that type of stuff. So it's kind of a league of his own.
You can't have Bobby Witt as the fourth shortstop in baseball, okay?
Anytime you don't have Bobby Witt at number one or in the top two, it's time to go back and reconstruct the algorithm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, we agree on that one. We agree on that one.
That's an easy. Yeah, he's not four.
No.
So they weren't fans of that list either. It's the fourth best shortstop.
I mean, who came up with that? Something called the Shredder or something?
And I think the names they had above him were Lindor, Betts, Seager.
They didn't even have Gunnar Henderson.
Or no, it was Henderson, Lindor, Betts, Bobby. I think those are your four shortstops.
Look, the shortstop position is as good as it's been in 25 years. It's awesome right now. Yeah. But Bobby Witt is still the best one in the game right
now. And then the cover of MLB Show 25, I believe, is De La Cruz, Paul Skenes, and Gunnar Henderson. So maybe now in baseball.
Who are they? Skeens, Henderson, who's the third one you
Taylor
said?
Taylor Cruz, your
Taylor
guy.
Taylor Cruz, yeah.
In Cincinnati.
I mean.
It's tough, but put four on.
Put four. Put Bobby up there, too.
Nobody wants three.
Yeah.
Nobody likes odd numbers.
Well, I mean, we should replace Gunnar Henderson, quite frankly, with Bobby Witt. We beat their ass.
So is Bobby Witt, if Bobby Witt Jr. is Patrick Mahomes, is Gunnar Henderson Josh Allen?
So far.
Is that where we're at?
I kind of like that analogy in that comp. Yeah, so far, yeah.
I mean.
Hasn't beaten Bobby when it matters most yet.
Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Bobby's a superstar. Gunner's a superstar. Which one's better? They play the same position.
Yeah. Do you think the Dodgers will let either of us win a World Series in the next 10 years?
Wouldn't that be the best taste in the world?
Beating the Dodgers in the World Series? Oh, hell yeah.
I will go naked
as
that
much
happens.
As the villain has been here in Kansas City with the Chiefs, we would be the heroes of the sports world if we beat the Dodgers in the World Series, right? I mean, like, everybody would fall back in love with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And everybody be rooting for us in that World Series too.
Somebody says, I'm pretty sure the Ninja Turtles beat the Shredder.
Yeah. I love that show.
Ninja Turtles?
Oh, God. That cartoon was
the best. Was it just me, or did their pizza look like the best pizza you've ever seen in your life, even though it was a cartoon?
Yeah, it looked good. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just always, and I it mean, was definitely New York style pizza.
Yeah, right. They would throw that pizza like, you know, turtles fighting with pizza. Sign me up.
Somebody says they're going to get Bobby Witt Jr. his own cover in 26. It's going to be better than three people. That would be awesome.
Yes.
That would be awesome. I mean, if you, like, I just, I don't know.
But do you want to go that route and have the Madden curse, you know?
There's no such thing as MLB The Show curse.
Well, have we only had one player on it yet?
No, I mean, we had Mahomes on it twice,
yeah.
And there was never a curse.
Never a curse there.
I don't believe, because he was on it with Brady, and then he was on it by himself.
Right, and they didn't, like, obviously they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, so people said maybe that was a curse, but I don't know.
I think there was one year you could have gotten in, like, an alternate cover of MLB, because you know they don't just do the one cover. They have like different editions of the game, and I think Hosmer was on one of those like other edition covers back in the day.
I think you're right.
Okay. I think Bobby Witt's going to be standalone on a cover at some point.
Yeah, he's trending that way.
He's too marketable. He's too good.
You just hope the rest of the country embraces Bobby Witt Jr. Right?
And I think he got a little taste of that home run derby, that home run derby that like. I don't know. Some of us did. Oh, it was Henderson, Seager, Lindor. Those are your,
okay.
I thought that's always it. Anyways. But yeah, no, it's that home run derby, I think, is really what kind of like elevated him a little bit. Cause I don't think a lot of people still watch the home run derby just cause it's so drawn out and long and some people find it boring. But like the way that home run derby ended and it was him and Teoscar Hernandez. And then you had like the local betting atmosphere in it too. Cause I mean, I think I was on Cody and Gold, maybe were we doing the show then? That would have been July.
Right about the time.
I think that might have been, I might have been filling in for Kling or something. But I remember I bet him to win the home run derby, and he got to the final two, and I'm like, okay. And then it ends with that just short of the wall.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. And then you're like, Kansas City market, Kansas City athlete, Bobby Witt Jr., kind of cool, kind of fly. Then you see what he did in the regular season. Then he had that July, which really catapulted him on the national stage. And then they make the playoffs. And now it's like, okay, now you've done all that. Now what do you do with it?
How do you bring Bobby Witt, though, to the passive baseball fan? You know what I'm saying? Like like me, I'll just say like a 47-year-old dad with kids who lives in, let's say, Pensacola, Florida, doesn't really consume baseball like we consume baseball. How do you bring Bobby Witt Jr. to that guy? Like, the NFL's great because they're all standalone games and they do, you know, it is what it is. But how do we get the Aaron Judge thought out of people's head and replace that with the Bobby Witt Jr. thought on the national level? And I ask because I don't know what the answer is. I look up and I go, ESPN could have a hand in this, but I know with like their TV ratings, the Yankees get $3 million a game. Everybody else gets less than $1 million a game when they put somebody other than the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball. So they're not going to do that type of stuff. But how do we get Bobby Witt Jr. out there and make him as popular as Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani?
The easy answer is continue the historic pace, because Bobby's going to do it himself, unfortunately, in baseball. And then,
I think you're right about that.
And then you've kind of got to like push it like Mahomes. Like, there's nobody better. And then like, if you're following that you have of 30,000 or so on X, and then all of a sudden starts getting retweeted, highlights get going, somebody in Florida is going to catch on, and there's going to be baseball nuts. And then all of a sudden, the MLB Network's going to talk about it, and then ESPN's going to talk about it, and then FS1's going to talk about it. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be like, hey, we have an anomaly in baseball right now, and it's Bobby Witt Jr., and that's how Florida finds out. That's the run that it has to be, because baseball's so far forgotten.
I know.
Plus, if you're in Pensacola, Florida, in the middle of the summer, you're playing golf, or you're in the water.
But, you know, wherever you are, though, like outside of Kansas City, you've got to find a way to market this guy and put him out there.
No doubt.
It's got to be an extreme run, too. I mean, I remember after you came back from the Battery, a couple years ago, Bob, talking about how does the casual fan not know the run that Ronald Acuna has been on the last half decade?
Right.
I mean, absolute superstar in the game. Nobody knows about him unless you're a hardcore baseball
fan. I know, and that's the hard part with baseball. Like, you have to be a seam head and in other cities to know what's going on, you know?
Yeah. Or you've got to be egregiously different. And De La Cruz is different because he throws the ball 100 miles an hour from third to first. He steals a base every time he's on. He's very charismatic, very colorful, and hits piss missiles.
Like, you look at that guy, you're like, I want to be that dude.
Correct. Yeah. But Bobby Witt Jr. is that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, De La Cruz is a little flashier. Bobby Witt Jr. is a little bit more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a good point. Baseball is very regional.
I know it. That's what I'm saying. And how do we expand the regionality of Bobby Witt Jr.?
Well, the Royals, it's a lot on the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to continue to be great. The Royals have to continue to be a winning team. And they've got to win big games against big teams. And then when you play later on in the playoffs and you play teams like New York, or you play a team, you know, like a Cleveland who's been good for a while, or even a Minnesota team who has a big market, not baseball-wise, but media-wise.
Number six media market,
Then you get to that level. You know, Mahomes is 55,000 a year was great. Football is on top of the world. Everyone saw it. Everybody loved it. It wasn't until year two or three where everybody's like, holy blank, this guy's really good and the Chiefs are a problem.
But the NFL also does such an amazing job of constantly keeping you updated during games of what's going on and showing highlights during your own game that you're watching. So even if you're watching Pittsburgh and Cincinnati that first year of Mahomes, you were seeing a ton of highlights from Patrick Mahomes, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't do that in baseball where we go, let's go to James Brown in New York for a game break or something like that. Like, we don't have that in baseball where we're doing that. And maybe that needs to be something that the local television networks do. Show more highlights of other guys to grow the game, because if you grow the game, it's better for everybody.
Somebody says, or Bobby could start dating Sabrina Carpenter. Well, the problem is he's married and happily married.
Right.
I'm glad you brought up TV and how things are dying. College basketball, big, big trouble here with what's going on with streaming devices. We'll talk about that and talk about why cable might be coming back to your house, whether you like it or not. Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to our Richard of the Week, which I guess we could all have the same one when it comes to YouTube TV.
Yeah, we could.
This sucks, man, because very, very few times are we right about the future. But I remember doing a show on After Hours when they started talking about where games were going to be played, which streaming devices were going to get games, which games were going to go here. And I said, eventually we're going to get to the point where everybody has too many streaming devices and too many options where they're going to be like, well, I'm just going to have to sacrifice. I'm not going to be able to watch the game on Paramount Plus because I've already got Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus, and YouTube TV. And then all of a sudden I thought to myself, okay, well, if you have five streaming devices, and let's say on average they're all $12 a piece, that's $72.
You're paying for cable, yeah.
Whereas cable, the only headache is you say to yourself, well, I don't want to have to pay $220 a month or whatever your cable bill is. Let's say it's 200. And I don't want to pay because I don't need, you know, Spanish Nickelodeon. And I don't need 30 music channels. And I don't need, you know, Ion Sports or whatever it is. I'm just making names up now. And so you were frustrated with it. But the one thing I will say is that with cable, you never have to worry. And then you can figure out, like, what streaming devices you want. Whereas YouTube TV just announced they're dropping CBS.
All the Paramount channels,
all
right?
The Paramount
Which
channels.
Which is like 20 channels.
Right before the March Madness tournament starts. Now who's the main character for March Madness?
CBS, right? And Turner and all that stuff, which is Paramount. And I guess they reached like a tentative agreement late last night or something
With all the backlash they got.
But this is why people moved away from cable and went to streaming, so they weren't beholden to the cable companies in these disputes all the time, right? And so you got out of it and you're like, all right, I don't have to worry about this anymore. But as you know, Josh and I would talk about over the years, because he was really early in on the streaming and whatnot. I'm like, I'll just continue to pay my cable. I like to sit down and I like to know 206 is where my game is on DirecTV, right? And I still have, you know, DirecTV because I still have kids that are doing things. I may need to record games. It gives me the opportunity to do so. And so, like, I've always been there with that. And then I thought about going to, you know, YouTube TV. And then you see this dispute with Paramount Plus, and basically YouTube TV has now become just another cable outlet where you're beholden to what they want to give you and what you want to see if you have YouTube TV. Or you can just spend the money, you know, on Paramount Plus and add that into your repertoire of channels to be had. But I think what people want is they want all their stuff in one spot. They want what cable used to be, right? They want it bundled all back in together and not have these disputes. And if you're YouTube TV, 2 weeks ago you raised your rates by $10 and then you cut 20 some channels off the top, people are pissed, man, as they should be, because this is why people went away from cable and satellite, so they didn't have to deal with this. And here we are immediately dealing with this. And at the end of the day, it's not much cheaper than having the cable package.
Right. And then somebody says, it's funny because we left cable because of all the commercials and we're still suffering from dumb commercials and worse broadcasts. Bring back cable. And the thing that's crazy is that, one, the timing of being like, yeah, we're done with CBS and all that sort of stuff. Like, you do realize that it is February 14th.
That's right.
And the biggest time for one of the biggest times for CBS outside of the football season is a month away.
Right.
And not only that, but like, they tell you to get these streaming devices and then it's like, this year it's $10. Next year it's $13. Next year it's $17. Now it's $20. It's $25 if you don't want commercials.
Right.
It's all BS. And like, Netflix does this now. Like, who'd have thought at one point Netflix was going to just sell you commercials or non-commercials? Like, we have the executive package, and then we have the non-executive.
Right.
That comes with commercials, but it's $7 cheaper. And it's like, what are you going to do with all this?
Yeah, I don't mind paying, you know, less and having commercials. That doesn't bothers my wife. You know, I don't want to see the commercials. Fine, whatever. But
it bothers you because I've been spoiled by it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, my whole life I watched it, and all of a sudden you go to somebody else's house and watch a TV show on YouTube, and it's like, why is he going to commercial break for 30 seconds? You're like, oh, well, I have the standard. I'm like,
I've got the standard package and whatnot. And a lot of people get whatever they get, you know, like, you know, your phone company offers you, like T-Mobile, which I have. You get MLB TV for free, you know, during the season. So you get every game on your phone, which is cool. And, you know, you get the MLS package. I think my internet provider, AT&T, gives us HBO Max. That's included in that kind of stuff. So some people have, you know, some of their stuff already connected in, and it's already, you know, kind of quote unquote free, if you will. It's included with your phone bill or internet bill and stuff like that. But you're out there subscribing to everything right now. That's why you see all these commercials for these companies that go, do you know what you're subscribed to? Call us and let us find out what you're paying for that you don't know about, like the gym membership, you know, because everybody's paying for these things right now.
Well, you probably have ESPN Plus, don't even know it. You're losing $10 to $15 a month.
Yeah, right. Like, I've got it. I know it personally. But, you know, I mean, I couldn't. I think we have Disney Plus.
You might have that package, like Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
How many of those I log, I don't know, you know. So I don't know, you know, what we have, what we don't have. I think my daughter has subscribed to Paramount Plus. We already had a Paramount Plus subscription, and you're like, it's like, what are you doing here? We've already had this subscription that we're paying for. So it's crazy that the fact that they're making you work to get your games and your stuff. And that's why I say, once the NFL goes away from CBS and Fox and free TV, over-the-air TV, that's when they're going to kill themselves. Because people don't want to hunt and peck for games. They really don't. They just want to know where it is.
Yeah, because what the Royals are on, like, the Bally's app.
Yeah,
again,
you
right?
can buy the Royals for $99 for the year. Yeah.
And then you have all the games you want on one specific app.
Right. If you just want Royals baseball, $99 for the year, you get all the Royals games. But if you're like me and you like to consume all of baseball, because since the pitch clock, I binge baseball now. Like, I will start it, like, if there's a day game and just watch all day if I can, because the games move so fast. And I think it's great. And as somebody pointed out on the text line, we need Red Zone for baseball right now, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
all for
how great would that be to have a Red Zone channel every night for MLB. The problem is, though, you've got the games that start at 6 o'clock on the East Coast, and you know it's all time zone. So that red zone day, if you're on the East Coast, you're probably not getting the West Coast stuff, and maybe vice versa. But even still, offer it to somebody. Get it out there. Let people have the option to have a red zone, if you will, for baseball. So I think that's where they need to go. But this cable stuff, it just drives me nuts, because people just want to watch their games, and they shouldn't be beholden to the cable company telling us what channels we can get. And it really should be the ability to go a la carte, where you just pick the damn channels that you want and give me the channels that I want, and that's what I'm going to pay for. And until they figure that out, we're all getting screwed because we're paying for stuff we don't need.
What's the better name for the red zone version of baseball? The strike zone, the warning track, or the batter's box? Or on deck?
I don't know what the right word is. I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
Because the red zone makes sense because it's about all the touchdowns.
All the touchdowns that get scored.
Strike zone.
What about scoring position?
Scoring position. That's where, yeah.
That scoring position. Sexual. Yeah, it does.
Honey, what are you doing? I'm just watching the scoring position. Yeah. Excuse me.
Right. But you
what?
Never know.
Bobby Wood Jr.'s up. I want to see what he does real quick.
Yeah. Scoring position. I mean, that if you're going to use that same type of thing, but I don't know what the right one would be for Major League Baseball.
Somebody says they have a red zone. It's called strike zone, but it's only on Monday and Fridays.
Yeah, that's not enough.
That is tough to do it every day of the week.
Sure it is.
Get paid for it, though.
But you get rotating people in there. It doesn't have to all be Scott
Somebody
Hansen.
Says the blackout rules are stupid, too, when you purchase MLB TV.
Well, yeah, we know that. I mean, we've been arguing those for 100 years now with the blackout rules. Hopefully those are going away sooner rather than later. But they are gone now. I mean, you can get the Royals on the app for $99 for the year. If you're a Royals fan, that's less than going to a game with four people.
No, MLB Network Strike Zone takes viewers on a high-speed trip around the league on Wednesday and Friday nights during the season.
Okay, so it's called Strike Zone.
How dare you get it wrong? Text line, it's Wednesday and Friday, not Monday and Friday.
No, I did not know this existed.
No.
Didn't know this.
Well, that's baseball in a nutshell. But
exactly. You're a baseball dork. I got a text from somebody that works in the front office of a Major League Baseball team. And they're like, that guy who's talking baseball, Nathan, he's pretty smart about baseball. I go, yeah, he gets it. He loves baseball, right? And you are a baseball nerd, rightfully so. And you didn't know that existed. I had vaguely heard something like that maybe out there. And Dusty's like, I didn't know it existed. And we're baseball fans. That's the problem. That's why I worry about Bobby Witt.
I have the Royals on TV and I get my highlights from Twitter. That's how I consume baseball. If I had something where I could whip around the league every time, I'd probably incorporate that into my viewership, but it doesn't exist. So yeah.
Bases Loaded is a title. RISP Zone, runner's position. Grand Slam TV, call it Runners In, call it
I like Grand Slam TV. That sounds cool.
Better be a lot of Grand Slam shown. In the Hole, I don't know if we can get away with that one. Yeah. The 6-4-3 Zone.
That's kind of cool. It's a mouthful, but I like
or
it.
Or you just call it the Double Play. Because it's already happened once, you're watching again, it happened twice, Double Play. Come on the other side, we get to our Richard of the Week on a Friday at 9 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.